Well, hello, hello, hello. Welcome back for another episode of A Queen's Roundtable Show and Podcast with your host, yours truly, Dr. Jacqueline Kaba Harrison. I'm still getting used to that doctor in front of my name. All right, so I hope everyone is doing well. Please like and share this broadcast out. Leave us any questions or comments you may have. We definitely want to hear from you. We want to know what you think, how you feel, your thoughts, and so on and so forth. So I am super excited to bring to you this particular show guest that I have this evening. But before we get started, just want to let you know that A Queen's Roundtable Show and Podcast is accepting show guests. I am actually doing something in particular, or especially for the month of October, which is, let me get this right, it's Women's Small Business Month. So if you have a product, a new product, a new service, mastermind, a virtual event, a book that you have coming out, and you want to put more eyes on your product and or service, you want to increase your visibility as well as your credibility, then definitely reach out to me and let's make it happen. Again, I'm always looking to spotlight exceptional women in business. Additionally, I am actually, if you don't already know, I am the executive producer of the A Queen's Roundtable channel on the one and only Women Win Television Network. And basically what that allows me to do is be able to, again, spotlight you. So I am in the process of vetting TV show hosts. So if you were interested, maybe you even thought about hosting your own show, maybe you have your own show, maybe you're just looking to expand your audience, you're looking to increase your visibility, you're looking to add an extra stream of income, hosting your own television show is an excellent, excellent way to do that. We stream on Roku and Amazon Fire TV, which is available across the globe. Okay, so this is an excellent opportunity. And I'll work with you. I will help you get your content together, give you different tips and tools if you need that kind of assistance. But definitely don't let the fear of the unknown hold you back. Reach out to me. And again, let's make it happen. And if you have not purchased your copy of Born to Lead, Awakening the Leader Within, then make sure you go to Amazon.com and or BarnesandNoble.com and purchase your copy. So without further ado, I'm going to bring my special guest on this evening, and we're going to get started. Well, hello, hello. How are you?
Well, hello. I am doing great and happy to be here with you today.
Good. Well, I'm happy to have you here. I had your bio out here, and it kind of closed up on me. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce my special guest this evening, or evening, morning, afternoon, whenever you're watching this video. It's Dr. Carmela Nanton. And she's not a stranger to the show. She's been on the show before, so it's a pleasure to have her back. I'm going to read her bio for you. Dr. Carmela Nanton is founder and CEO of Carmel Connections, Inc. She empowers high-functioning executives and entrepreneurs to elevate, expand, and evolve into who they need to become for the next level in their careers and businesses. Dr. Nanton is a result-oriented, board-certified executive leadership business coach, ordained and licensed in MFT, counseling and ministry. She uses her global experiences to inform her coaching, consulting, and writing. Dr. Nanton is a leader who has educated and developed leaders for more than two decades as a world traveler, as an educator, curator, and facilitator of leadership development and immersion experiences to China and the Czech Republic, using the world as a classroom. She has led cross-cultural engagement and international business learning experiences to the Bahamas, Hong Kong, and Kenya. As a speaker, she has left her footprint in Spain, Canada, Oxford Roundtable, UK, and across the US, and as a women's leadership scholar in India and Maui. Dr. Carmela is the author of 5 books, editor and co-editor of 2 books. She is most proud of the Presidential Lifetime Award or Presidential Lifetime Achievement, Top Black Educator, Legacy Miami, the Palm Beach County Community Service, and the International Book Award for Hardwired to Lead, Women's Leadership Series. She loves to travel, is intensely curious about other cultures, music, an avid sports fan, and iced macchiatos. Ooh, and I'll let her go ahead. So, Dr. Carmela, welcome to the show. I'm so super excited to have you back. So, you know, tell us a little bit about who you are, who you serve, and basically how you help your clients.
Yes. Well, you had a good synopsis of who I am and how I do it, but I am someone who takes the experiences that I have gained from around the world with leaders, like leaders in America, just at their own representation in their own country. And I use that to inform what I do with them. I am the creator of the Executive Power Plus program, which is executive and leaders coaching program, as well as a course that is combined. And I use that as a basis for a holistic approach to leadership development that touches the leader themselves, the organization or the company that they work in or own, the employees that they work with, and the resources that are available to them, and then work with them on a special project that is tailored to some major goal that they want to meet. And so I work with top level leaders, not because I don't work with anybody else, but they are the place where my heart is, because I know that when you touch the top leader, you touch the entire organization. And I work with them to help them create inclusive environments where anyone, particularly women who are hardwired to lead, can thrive. And that's what I do. I train, I coach, I help use my mental health licenses if that is necessary. And if I see that you need something in particular, we will find that resource for you. Because at the end of the day, if the person is leading the entire company, the reputation, the culture of that company depends on them. And it's so much better to lead from a full cup than it is from an empty cup.
Wow, absolutely. So let me ask this, and I know you've, you know, touched on it already, but how did you end up here? I mean, did you automatically know this is kind of where you wanted to end up, or is this maybe based on a particular life experience, or how did you end up here?
Well, it is based on my life experiences, absolutely. So I cut my teeth on leadership when I was about 14 years old, and I had a team that I led, and I was up against an adult who knew what they wanted from their team and had been in it longer than I was. And my goal was to win. And from that point on, I found that I had a gift for leading against the odds. Didn't realize it then, but understand that trajectory now, because I found a way with the team that I had to win. And not only was that my first experience, but it began to build. And I came into organizations where I was constantly told that, well, women are not supposed to lead and women cannot lead. And even while I was leading, they were telling me I couldn't lead. And so I understood that often as the only woman, or often as the only woman of color, that I could lead, and I did lead, and I led against the odds. What did that translate into? It translated into being promoted twice as fast as everyone expected me to be promoted. It resulted in being headhunted based on my reputation of doing an excellent job, the awards that I won, the ability to create programs inside of organizations as an intrapreneur that brought in millions of dollars. Many of those programs are still running today. And so that experience that I had is what made me understand that there were situations where you are called to lead, and in that space, it might be difficult. There would be challenges. There would be hurdles that you have to overcome. But if you are hardwired to lead, like I found out, you will lead in spite of all of those things. And so I ended up leading in healthcare, in the space of government, in the space of community service, even as a minister, and also in higher education. And in higher education, I taught management and leadership. And as I taught for a long time, I began to realize that there's nothing for women. It always was about the men, and it always was about how men led, and women can't lead, and they don't fit in the leadership practice because society had a box that they created for women, and leadership was not part of what was in that box. And I always operated outside. I never fit the mold, was always different, and it helped me to understand that when we are in situations like that, we have to become resourceful. And so I became resourceful and resilient in toxic places, overcoming the difficulties. And that is why I have done what I'm doing today. My heart is to deal with women who are hardwired to lead primarily, and to help them overcome the hurdles, to mentor them, to guide them, to lead them along paths that would help them to thrive, so that they would not fail by the wayside, become burnt out, suffer from imposter syndrome, because all of it is based on a narrative of lies. If we are silent about who we are and the skills and the competencies we have in terms of leadership, others will make up the narrative for us. And part of the reason why I come to work in this space and even wrote the books was because I wanted to fill that gap and help not only the women, but the men who are the leaders, who need to also work together with us to create inclusive environments so that everyone who is hardwired to lead can thrive.
Okay. All right. So let me ask you this. Tell us a little bit about your book series and what, you know, what was the inspiration behind that?
Yeah, well, the inspiration, I kind of alluded to it just as we were transitioning. I found that there was a gap in the knowledge about leadership. And I decided, as a woman leader who was teaching leadership, that it was part my responsibility to make the connections and fill in the gaps and try to understand what was happening in leadership practice when it came to women. And so I left the job that I was in, and I heard the word write, and I began to write. And when I finished writing, somebody said, well, this is too long. You need to make more than one book out of it. So I decided to divide it up into three parts. The first volume is the woman as leader in the perception of society. And it's the recognition that society is paternalistic. It is based on power and control. and that men dominate the power and control space. And so I address those issues for women within a framework of domestic violence, because all of the behaviors in domestic violence are mirrored in the organization as well. Now, I didn't know that when I first started out, but as I began to write, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that this is true. And as I went behavior by behavior, I matched them up and they were all there. So I framed the leadership book series in domestic violence, and then went to explain how that defines women's image, how it defines gender and what gender is able to do, what they should do, what they should say, where they should go, what spaces they should operate in. I mean, we have come a long way. As Virginia Slim used to say, we've come a long way, baby, but we got a long way to go to get women in equity when it comes to leadership. There's only 1% for women of color, up to 5 to 6% for when you include white women. The 94 or 95% still is dominated by men. So women continue to be underrepresented. So I talked about gender. I talked about sexual harassment. I talk about money, the persistent wage gap. I talk about the church and where that is clearly evident. Then I talk about what we can do. The second volume is about silence and the fact that if a system is to continue, the people who are affected by that system are silenced. Because if they begin to speak up, like I'm speaking up now, we begin to disrupt things, we begin to shake things up. And that's not something that is invited for the most part in systems that want to remain the same. And so they have their silence because they're not going to let us in on the key things that are possible for change to happen. And then they make sure that we are silenced so we don't get to ask the questions or make the challenges to the system. And so between the two of us, we maintain the system. So that's what the second volume is about. But the third volume, I took the chance and decided to create what an inclusive environment would look like and what leaders would have to do to make it an inclusive environment, what women who lead have to do to make it an inclusive environment. Because by the way, I'm not letting women off the hook. We perpetuate the system. We are the HR people who have the file number 13, where we take the complaints and put them on the side. We are the gatekeepers for many of the decisions that are made against women. And so women are not off the hook. And in order to fit in, we often pick up the abusive behaviors that we complain about for ourselves. So here's where the interesting stuff happens. But I lay out the kind of learning that needs to be done, the kind of organization, policy, and strategy that needs to be put in place, and what we can do together to make the workplace an inclusive place where everyone who is hardwired to lead can thrive. And I work with the companies in that particular space, and I work with the leaders in that particular space. And the mission is to touch the lives of 1 million women who are hardwired to lead, 1 million companies and men who lead those companies, so that we can create the environment that is conducive to the profits that we say we want, conducive to the cutting edge that we say we need, and the advantage we have of working together in a collaborative manner.
Wow. You know, I have to say that when you had brought up earlier about you use the analogy as, I guess, women in the, or some of the things that they experience in a, like a verbally abusive, type of relationship, that's similar. You found it very, very similar to the work environment.
That's right.
That really kind of raised up a few antennas. And I was like, wow, I never really thought of it like that, you know? So that's the education piece. Just even, mm-hmm. even thinking about that, I guess I need to grab the books, right? In order to be able to find out, you know, because now my curiosity is piqued now. And I also wanted to mention that I like how you not only talk about what some of the issues or some of the concerns are, but mm-hmm. you also make everyone like a part of the solution. You know, tell, you know what I mean? Like how you say women as well as men, everyone mm-hmm. is a part of the solution.
That's right.
Yeah, so I like that. So it's like you're identifying the problem, identifying the issue, and you're also telling how we can go about to correct it. So that is, I like yeah. that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, the interesting thing about that is that when I talk about networks and so on, we find the isolation piece of the domestic violence behavior come into play. And so women are left out of the key networks, the ones that are connected to the people who have the information about the jobs coming down the pike, the ones who are talking about getting special projects to work on so that your hard skills are developed, so that you are in the mix when those jobs come to bear, or the people who are connected to the mentors who then will drop your name in the conversations mm-hmm. so yeah. that you get to be hired or you get that promotion or so, or even to their friends in another job. Sometimes jobs are created based on your name, you know? Mm-hmm. And the reality of the matter is, and this is the key, if they are in those groups and we're excluded from those groups, we also don't get to know about the jobs that are available, the opportunities that are available to us. So we have to collaborate with them, A, to be included. Because normally what we would do is, okay, well, we'll just make our own group. Well, yes, we can make our own group, but it's still excluded from right. the in-group. Right. And so making our own group is a support solution, but it is not the full solution to help us get to the place where we want to get. And so we have to literally work with the ones who have the power. And that's why I include the men, 95% of them. So therefore, they have to be included somehow. And I know that everything that I describe in the book is not a description of every leader that is a male, but it is the requirement that they have to get involved if things are to change, because they have the power both in the workplace and in society where the narratives are written and enforced. And so if we don't get them involved, if they choose not to get involved, mm-hmm. then we end up being in the same situation, spinning our wheels. And then what do? We leave the workplace and we go out to the society, and guess what? In the society, the same problems exist. So one way or another, we are up against similar systems, whether it is in society as transferred to the workplace, as the is one of the other books I have written. It is about transferring the same behaviors in society into the workplace. The irony of it is that in the workplace, lawyers are hired to protect those systems. Right. Insurance policies are in place to mm-hmm. pay off right. people who have been hurt, harmed, and damaged from that behavior, to pay them off and silence them. And not to mention the non-disclosure agreements, right? Mm-hmm. So the system of silencing is deeply entrenched. Mm-hmm. And so if we don't open that up and bring it out into the open, you know, sunlight heals a lot of things. So a little sunlight on the silence helps us to understand what the job is and how we can put the policy and the strategies together in the organization to make it worth the change of that is necessary.
So, Dr. Camilla, we are going, I want you to answer one more question, and then we'll get a quick commercial break. So, okay. For individuals that would like to purchase your books, mm-hmm. where can they, how can they do that?
Yes, the books are available on Amazon. You can get that either through my website or you can get it from Amazon.com. I have them available there. And you can either look up my name, Dr. Carmela Nanton, because I do have an author page. And the books will be listed there. You can find them on my website as well. But they are available, Hardwired to Lead, Power Secrets and Women's Leadership. That's volume one. Hardwired to Lead, The Culture of Silence and Women's Leadership. And that's the award-winning book and the finalist. And then Hardwired to Lead, Reconstruction for Women's Leadership. They're all there. And I'd love to have you read them and give me a review as well.
And then your website is CarmelConnections.com?
That is correct.
Okay.
www.CarmelConnections.com. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so excellent. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back after this brief commercial break.
Realizing Your Potential LLC presents Born to Lead, Awakening the Leader Within. This anthology brings together women that have overcome hardships in their lives and have managed not only to survive, but thrive. Their stories focus on resiliency, adaptability, and strength, acknowledging the innate strength and leadership qualities in African-American women.
Have you ever struggled with procrastination, imposter syndrome, or a false reality of perfection? Have you ever suffered from trauma, anxiety, or depression? Then I have a solution just for you. Introducing Imperfectly Fierce and Focused, rising above your imperfections while still crushing your goals. This anthology is to empower, uplift, and motivate readers to recognize their ability and strength to get beyond the spirit of perfection, fear, and procrastination. So if you're ready to stop the excuses, stop the procrastination, and start living your best version of yourself, then prepare yourself for this powerful book release. It's going to be epic. Like and follow our Facebook page, Imperfectly Fierce and Focused, rising above your imperfections while still crushing your goals.
All right. So, Dr. Carmela, could you share with us or tell us a little bit about your upcoming Hardwired to Lead virtual conference?
Yes, I'm excited to once again be hosting the Hardwired to Lead Smart Executive and Entrepreneurs Conference. It is a conference that's designed for leaders, executives, entrepreneurs, who are all executive leaders, for those who are managers, professionals, change makers, community leaders, anyone who is hardwired to lead. So the books, Hardwired to Lead, are the inspiration for the conference. And it is also connected to the reality that what I had written in the book, I wanted to verify that that was indeed something that was happening globally as well as locally. And so I began to seek out influencers, business leaders, executives who work in organizations, individuals who operate in ministry, individuals who operate in the community, and wanted to talk with them, have these power conversations that shared their stories and shared their learning and shared their failures, their successes, and asked them to bring together the knowledge that they had gathered from their failures and to bring the tips and the secrets and the guidance that would be necessary, put them into actionable steps that you could take as an individual so that you could move 20 steps forward in your business or towards your business dreams and goals. And the conference is starting on the 30th of October, running through the 11th of November. And early registration begins on the 20th of October. So we have a little time. We're still looking for one or two speakers. And so if you are interested in being a part, you can connect with me at info@drcarmelananton.com and share what the knowledge that you have. But the point in this conference is that I have brought together a powerhouse of women and men with a variety of knowledge and experience, from self-care to wealth creation, from leadership development to sales, managing yourself, managing the organization, whatever you need. The women and the men have come together as experts to share with you what it will take to power shift to your next level in business and in the workplace. And I'm delighted to be sharing that conference. I am always excited and energized as I have these conversations because I hear myself saying inside, yes, this is it. I didn't make it up. This is true. And it's such a powerful experience that I invite you to hustle and register, get your notebook, sit down and take the notes. Take the steps that they offer you or challenge you with so that you can move forward in your business and in your career.
So is this an annual conference that you do?
The conference is twice a year, actually. Right. I do one in the spring around April, May, and then one in the fall. Okay. So one helps you get some momentum if you're beginning to lose it by the third or fourth month in the year, because we all start off the year hot and ready to go and we hit the ground running. But sometimes by the time the first quarter is up, we're already saying, I'm not even doing my resolutions anymore. I'm not meeting my goals and I want to give up. And so I drop that conference with your motivation and your insights and your challenges and your information that you might need, that one thing that you might need to get you to move further and keep going on your goals in terms of accountability so you meet them. And then in the fall, when we entering the last quarter and some of us are flagging, it is about exciting you to make that last push to crush your goals and finish the year strong so that when you step out of the old year and enter the new, you are primed and ready to hit the ground running and be successful in the year that comes up. So it runs twice a year. And I have some fabulous speakers. It is a busy time for me, but it's a truly exciting time as well.
Okay. Are you able to share any, like, give us like a little snippet of who some of your speakers are?
Yes.
If you can.
I can give you topics, but I want people to register for the information. But yes, we have Her Excellency Teresa Ann Mosley, for example. We have Liana Chauli. We have a variety of speakers that come to the table. And I'm like not getting all of the names right off the top of my head. So I'll drop those two and invite you to listen to the rest of them. Because there'll be 20 speakers, and each of them is a powerhouse. I have intellectual prowess at the table. These are women who are not only working it, they have studied it, and they understand how to apply what they have learned to the workplace. You don't want to miss it, is all I would tell you.
But, it is for individuals who are entrepreneurs. It's for, and maybe they want to, you know, increase their leadership skills. For women that are, you know, out there, you know, working out there in corporate, and they want to fine tune their skills.
That's right.
Anybody I'm missing?
Yes, the ones who want to be promoted, individuals who want to take their expertise and expand it to different industries because their skills are portable, which is, and the example would be how I worked in healthcare, and then I worked in government, and then I worked in education, I worked in community. So sometimes your skills are portable and your expertise is usable across industries. Some women want to expand that way. And then others want to transition from corporate to owning their own business, to becoming an entrepreneur. And those are the spaces that we try to get individuals to speak to, because the skills that are required for an entrepreneur who is the one that wears all the hats is very different from the skills that are required by an executive in an organization that also has an HR director and a CFO and a CMO and COO that have their own departments that help the executive in the organization. Guess what? When you're an entrepreneur, you all of that at the end of the day. And so it is speaking to those things and the mix of how to keep your energy up when you are working, probably burning both ends of the candle. We talk about self-care, because I always say, if you're an entrepreneur, you are the business, and taking care of yourself is taking care of business. And so we touch every aspect of the individual, including their relationships, because you can be someone who has a high-functioning, high-performing team and fractured relationships at home. You may be someone who everybody looks up to as being a consummate leader, and you put forth a powerful and strong image, and you go home and you're depressed and you're suicidal and you're struggling, you know, with even your identity because you are burnt out and overworked and overwhelmed. So we try to touch all of those things to give you something to take away so that you don't get to those places not being prepared. And then for the ones who work in toxic relationship environments and places where they have to be resilient all the time because of microaggressions, we also talk a little bit about how to manage those spaces. And then in terms of entrepreneurs, we also share how you are to brand yourself. And this time around, I have a wonderful opportunity that we are bringing to the conference. It is a live workshop, and it is about personal branding. And not so much in, you know, just the marketing piece and putting the funnels together, but putting yourself together as the brand of your corporation, of your organization, of your business, in terms of the clothes to wear for power, the clothes to wear to send a message, and how to walk in authority because you are dressed for authority. And that's a live workshop, and everyone is invited to that.
Okay. I was just getting ready to ask you that. Was it interactive? You know, were they going to be like question and answer sessions? Are they going to have something, you know, tangible they can walk away with, like a workbook or something of that nature?
Yes, I do have a workbook that will be available to those who are VIPs. Okay. I'm still considering whether I should make it for everyone, but the book requires so much work that it is a VIP option. So if you select the VIP option, you get, along with the VIP, you get the full workbook, which gives you questions and spaces for you to write down your action steps. And it also gives you some information about the speaker themselves and the topic that they are creating. But the virtual event is 2 speakers every day are aired. And what I will do is I will let you know which speakers are appearing on which day and give a quick introduction of who they are and making sure that they as individuals are shared with you so you know who's coming. But you got to register.
Right, got to register.
It's an exclusive event. It is not something for the public. You can register for free. So I'm not charging you for the registration. And you will get to hear all of the speakers. Each of the speakers is bringing a gift for you. So you get an opportunity to directly connect with them via that medium. I am considering putting a panel in there, but it's not all worked out. But we will try to make sure that there is something interactive. And you can always connect with me in terms of any questions you might have. The workshop that I referenced in terms of the dressing for authority and so on, that is interactive. There will be individuals who will serve as models and will talk about clothing and patterns and what colors look best on you and what colors you use when you want to send what message. And so it's going to be very interesting. I have been through that. The value of that workshop is at least $1,000. And I'm talking about accessories and from jewelry to scarves to a variety of things. So I think you need to be there, right? And if there are any guys up to it, she works with men too. Actually, the person who's coming in, Liana Shiuli, she is known worldwide. And she not only works with top executives, but she also works with royalty and what we would call the top 1% in terms of individuals of power who want to know that they are dressing for the power that they hold. And her willingness to come and share with us is a huge privilege and opportunity that you have. And I hope you take advantage of it.
I'll be there.
Okay, yay. So you could be one of the models then. That's all good. Listen.
We'll talk about that.
Works for me. It's invaluable. I have taken the class myself. Mm-hmm. And I was blown away.
Okay.
Some things were confirmed for me, but other things I did not know. And so I said, you know what? I got to bring this to my people. So,
yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yes.
So with the remainder of our time, because we're going to close out shortly, but I want to know, Can you share what impact has your travel experiences had on your work?
Wow. Good question. From the bio that was read, you recognize that I have been to several countries, mm-hmm. and it is actually 14 countries I've been to in my leadership development experiences and so on. And I have spoken in over 100 cities worldwide, right? The piece that is critically important for me for our intents and purposes right now is that everywhere I went, the leadership experiences for women were the same at one level, which is the level of difficulty that they had in leadership or attaining leadership positions, even though they desperately were needed to lead in the communities and in the companies that were successful. The difference was the levels of oppression and abuse or challenges that the women had. And they were different from country to country. And so that knowledge has informed not only the way that I work with my clients, but also it has informed how I wrote the book, because right now we're working on trying to get it translated into different languages. Spanish will be the first one, and then moving out and branching out globally. But in places like the Caribbean, you will find the same kinds of behaviors. In places like India and in China, you have, even in Japan, I mentioned Japan in the book because it is one of the countries where women are still held back from leading in a number that is huge. And so it is about bringing awareness and understanding that the experiences are similar, so we can understand to what extent. But they look at us and think that we have it all together, mm-hmm. right? But at the with a little bit 5%, right? The 5% that we have, some people consider to be so fantastic, and the opportunities that we have to lead and so on. And as I indicated before, there is a push for women's leadership, because at the end of the day, we say we want to increase profits. Well, when women are in top leadership in companies, mm-hmm. your profits are higher. You are 21% in terms of profits ahead of your competitors, so you have a better competitive edge. You have a better reputation in your company. If you walk into a company and you see other women in leadership positions, the satisfaction of employees is better because they get to collaborate more. They get to participate more. The attrition is less. And we also know the decision-making is better because there are different perspectives that are brought to the table that make a difference. And then there is innovation intensity. So creativity and innovation is expanded when women are in leadership. So if you say that you want to be at the cutting edge of leadership and you want to be a company that brings in outsized profits, you also need to be saying that you need to include women, because the data says that when women are in top leadership positions, these are the results you have. What you say you want is in women's leadership. And so I believe that women's leadership needs to be advanced, not because we want to take over, but we want to be able to lead side by side, partner equally, get paid equally, and produce equally, because it also is borne out that women still continue to earn 25 cents on the dollar less than their male counterparts for doing the same job, right? Or they will be more educated. In fact, the educational data says that for the last 10 or 15 years, women have out-earned degrees as compared to their male counterparts. You can look it up. You don't have to take my word for it. And it means that women are serious about equipping themselves to be able to lead. And so I invite and challenge men to step up to the plate and be open to the knowledge that women bring to the table. When they apply for the job, they're not underqualified. 90% of the time, they are overqualified because they are well-educated, they are competent. Most of the time, they are the ones who end up training the person who maybe have been put in and stepped over or passed over that same woman who you're depending on to train the person. So if you're depending on them to train, why not bring them in and pay them the same way if they're doing the work? And so those are the questions I ask as well. And as we look at leadership and so on, the point is to bring together all of the minds that are present in terms of leadership skills and competencies. There's no lack of ambition with women. So we want to lead too, especially if we hardwired to lead, whether we're told we can't lead or not, we're going to be leading. I know that because that's why I call it hardwired to lead.
Yes.
I found in myself across my lifespan that leading was just in me. And wherever I went and whatever we were doing, somehow or another, Carmela was leading. And so if we can just acknowledge that and understand that if we are cutting off 50% of our population, we're also cutting off 50% or half or twice as much, maybe is a better thing, twice as much of the knowledge that we would have if we're only operating with one metric, right? So we can pull them together and then have exponential growth in terms of our capacity and capability in terms of leadership. So I invite everyone who is interested in leadership to pay attention to those things. It's not an accident that I say I want to reach a million women because I want to encourage, inspire, and empower them to honor their hardwired to lead and create the leadership destiny. For the men, I want to inspire you to expand your leadership horizons and make sure that you're including and not overlooking the very thing that you're looking for when you're hiring people. Sometimes it's right in your organization and you're looking outside for them, right? Find the people who are wired to lead, develop them, put them into developmental experiences, projects, hook them up with mentors in the organization who will polish the rough edges and bring them up into the leadership that they are designed to be in and allow them to create their leadership destiny and enhance their social mobility, because when they are held back or when they're not paid enough, it has a lifetime impact on the life of the woman. Women's materials are more expensive, from haircuts to clothes in the dry cleaners. Women pay more for all of those things, and yet we think it's okay to pay them less. You know, like, help me out here, you know? But
So we have to end it now. Okay. Thank you all for joining, and definitely make sure you tune in for the next A Queens Roundtable show and podcast. Take care, everybody.
All right.